This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Musa alayhi salam is speaking to Allah, and as the conversation was coming to an end, Allah wants to give Musa a heads up about something very serious that happened during Musa's absence. It's a given, we should all know this. Allah sees people from all parts of the world, correct? What's the supplication we say when we travel? What do we say? Allahumma anta sahibu. Oh Allah, you're my companion when I travel. You're with me. And what do we say right after that? Wal khalifatu fil ahl. And you're the one who's taking care of my family back home. Only Allah does that. You're with me when I'm traveling, and you're with my family back home. Only Allah is all capable. So though Allah's talking to Musa, Allah knows what's happening across the world. And he tells him something very serious. He said, your people, Musa, have worshipped something besides me. And Allah says, فَقَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ. Your people were tested severely during your absence. وَأَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي. And there's someone, his name is As-Samiri. He's the one who caused them to be able... okay, I found it. Sorry, I'm still getting there. Forgive me, guys. So then the guy's name is what? As-Samiri. Allah, you're going to have to do a lot of cutting in this session. All right? So there's a guy's name is As-Samiri. He abused the people. He made a false god for the people, and they fell for it. Musa alayhi salam was furious. Musa alayhi salam was so angry, and he rent quickly or slowly. This is something to do with religion. This is serious against Allah. I'm going to go quick. فَرَجْعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانْ أَسِفًا. He went to his people. He was so angry. He was so furious. So much so that when he walked to the area where Bani Israel was supposed to be waiting for the 40 nights and so on, he came and he saw them worshipping this calf. It was like a cow, but obviously not a real cow. It was made out of gold. And they're like worshipping, seeking blessings from this cow. So he says, بِئْسَ مَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. What a horrible things you guys are doing. What's the matter with you? What is going on with you? وَأَلْقَ الْأَلْوَاحِ. And you know the tablets he had, the Torah? He grabbed it and he threw it and it broke. He was angry. Not of disrespect to the tablets, but he was so emotional. He did not think very much of what he's doing and he threw it out of anger. And now he starts talking to people. He's so upset. People see Musa angry. You got to watch out. Musa, by accident, remember what he did in Egypt before prophethood? Very physically strong. He's going to learn the lesson. I'm not going to push people, do stuff like that. I'm going to watch how much energy am I putting into this. He's so angry. He talks to his people. Let's see what he says. He says to Bani Israel, Ya Qawm, my people, Alam ya'idukum rabbukum wa'dan hasana. Did Allah not help you out? Did Allah not save you? Did Allah not honor you? Did Allah not give you, for example, water, shade, food? What's the gratitude? Is this your thank you back? Is this your appreciation to what Allah did? أَفَطَالَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَهْدِ. Were you guys not able to wait? Initially, some books of tafsir, interpretation of the Quran, said that Musa told his people, I will be away for how long? 30 nights. But remember, as mentioned, at the 30th night, Allah added 10 more nights. So they did not get the update, Bani Israel. So they start saying, well, he's not there, so I don't know what's going on, so let's do something about it. Subhanallah. أَفَطَالَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَهْدِ. Could you guys not wait? What's the matter with you? Then he says something interesting. He said, or you guys were just looking forward to see how God punishes people. Like actually trying to make Allah angry to see like what kind of punishment he sends. فَأَخْلَفْتُ مَوْعِدِي. And you broke the promise. And look to what they say. Something very foolish. They said, مَا أَخْلَفْنَا مَوْعِدَكْ بِمَلْكِنَا. It was not within our hands. What is it? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's not within our will that we worship this cow. You know, some people, you were better off just saying sorry, right? Sometimes it happens with children. Sometimes you might find someone, you know, a little kid. I'm not comparing the kids to Bani Israel. Relax, okay? So I caught one time a kid writing on the wall. So I said, what are you doing? They're like, you can repaint it. I just say, I'm sorry. Wallah, I'm like, Wallah al-Azim Jama'ah. That's why Allah talks. The most nation mentioned in the Quran is the children of Israel for a reason. There's a lot of similarities, right? There's a lot of things we can learn from. May Allah protect us. He can repaint. Just say, I'm sorry. Just say you're wrong, right? And then when you try to be smart, they're like, oh, I got cornered. So you tell them, you know what? Allah yihdik. May Allah guide you. Why? Why did I do wrong? No, I'm just saying, God, may Allah guide you. Why you took it like that? And there's an argument and stuff like that. May Allah protect us. So then they tell Musa, let us explain to you what happened. You guys ready to know what happened? Yeah, let's see what happened. Ready, bismillah. They said, humilna awzaran min zinat al-qawm. They're going to now tell you the story, these Bani Israel people. I got a good question in the break. Are all of them like ungrateful? Were all of them participating? The answer is no. The majority was. Fair enough, the majority. So they said, Musa, we had gold jewelry with us. Allahu Akbar, from where? Some say, before they escaped Egypt, Bani Israel spoke to the Egyptians, the Coptic people, saying they have a gathering to their neighbors from the Egyptians, if you can allow us to borrow some gold and jewelry. And it happens till this day from those that do the henna, Philistine, whatever, they borrow gold and all that good stuff, right? But these people, Bani Israel, had no intention to bring it back. So they took it. Another narration says that they collected the gold after Pharaoh drowned. So whatever floated onto the surface of the sea, etc., or the shore. The point being, they said, Musa, we were not comfortable having it. Like, we were not sure, is this halal or is it haram? Okay, so what do you guys do? فَقَذَفْنَاهَا. We dug a hole in the ground, we threw all the gold, and we lit fire in there. فَكَذَلِكَ أَلْقَى السَّامِرِي. And who joined us? As-Samiri. Who's this guy? I'll tell you. This Samiri, he puts the gold and the jewelry into that hole, lit into fire, and it starts what? Melting. فَأَخْرَجَ لَهُمْ عِجِلًا جَسَدًا لَهُ خُوَارًا. As-Samiri was a very crafty person. The way he designs 3D shapes is outstanding. Idols and things like that. He was an expert. So he was able with the molten gold and jewelry and silver and so on to craft an idol in the shape of a cow. So it's gold, shiny, very excellent way of designing it. But he made the cow have a hole, as some Mufassirin interpreters say, from the back, and the hole from the front. So it can be like a whistle. So anytime there's wind, and the wind comes from the back to the front, the cow makes a noise. He designed it in a way that the noise is just like a cow, or whatever the sound is, right? May Allah protect us. So now they said, when we saw that Musa, we couldn't help it. You can just say, I'm sorry. That's all what you have to say. I'm sorry, we fell for it. Allah forgive us. Then we were told, Ya Musa, hadha ilahukum, this is your Lord. So we were confused. This is our Lord? Is it a different Lord than Moses' Lord? He said, no. Wa ilahu Musa, this is Musa's God. So where is Musa? Fanasi, Musa actually is looking for him. That's why he's 10 days late. You got the numbers now? Musa told them, I'll be away for 30 nights. He was gone for 30 nights. Then there, Allah added 10. They did not get an update. So some said, As-Samiri utilized that, and he said, you know what? Musa's not here, so I can make a case now. He's lost looking for God, and this is the God. Fanasi. Now, when Musa alayhi salam hears this, who comes to his mind? Where is Harun? He went to Harun. Musa alayhi salam goes to his brother, وَأَخَذَ بِرَأْسِ أَخِي تَعَالِ. Come here. He grabs him from his head, grabs from his beard. يَدُرُّهُ. Come here. In front of everybody. تَعَال. يَا هَارُون مَا مَنَعَكَ. Harun, what in the world were you doing? How were you not able to... How did this escalate that they're boogie boogie worshipping this thing? How is all these people... How did he have the time to, you know, make a cow? How? What's wrong with you? أَلَا تَتَّبِعْنِي. You're not listening. Why don't you go run after me and tell me? أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي. Are you straight up disobeying me? Then Musa says, yep, na'um. Oh, my brother from the same mother. And the ulama says something beautiful. He said mother to soften his heart, not from the same father. The mother, there's a softness to it, right? And many of us, our moms tell us certain things in life. There's things I don't want you to ever do. And then your siblings tell you, remember what mom told you? Like, oh yeah, right? So you think of mom. I'll share with you something about my mom. My mom, she may change things, but for years she said, there's two things I don't want you to ever do in your life. Ever in your life do it. Okay, she said that to me when I was all this high school till this day. Actually, now she's not saying it as much. Number one, never hit your older brother. Wow, you're an evil brother. Don't worry about it. That's what she said. Khalas. Never, let me idak ala akhuk. Never be physical towards your brother. And the other thing she told me, may Allah help us, never use your phone when driving. So anytime something like that happens, my sister's brothers tell me, remember what mom told you? Okay, right? I'm not going to punch you no more, right? May Allah protect us. So Harun tells Musa, Yabna my brother from the same mother, Innal qawma stada'afuni, my people belittled me. They abused my kindness. Harun was known to be a very nice guy. Very understanding, very gentle. And they did not tell you the full story. An obvious Bin Israel would not tell you the full story. He said, I did tell them. I did speak to them. I told them, إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُمْ بِهِ I told them that what you're going through is a test from Allah. I did tell them, this is wrong. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ I told them, God is Allah, the most merciful. I reminded them. Did you see how he said it too? There's a lot of names for God. What did Harun choose? Ar-Rahman. That's who he is. The guy's worshiping. He said, well, Allah is Ar-Rahman. He could have said, Allah is Al-Muntaqim, the one who seeks revenge. But this is Harun's nature. Rabbakum Ar-Rahman. Fattabi'uni. Follow me and obey me. Trust me. And you know what they said, Ya Musa? This whole time, Musa's grabbing him. And you know what they said, Ya Musa? Lan nabraha alayhi ha'akifin. Harun, we're not listening. We will always worship this idol. We will always worship this cow. What is this devotion? Like, what is wrong with these people? Hatta yarja ilayna Musa, until Musa comes back. So in their eyes, Harun is meaningless. Not just that, Musa. Guess what they did? I kept talking to them. You know what they did? Wakadu, huh? Yaqtulunani. They were about to kill me. Hadul qatlat anbiya. Allah says about the children of Israel, not all of them, but many of them, they will go as far as killing a prophet. That's how far they'll go. If you're not according to our standard, you know, like an imam that takes too long, you're fired. You pray the way we want to pray. You know what I mean? But this is a whole other level. This is prophets that you're willing to kill. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. So then Harun says, so as a result, I got two options here. I go for a civil war, right? The ones who disbelieved in the cow and are believing in La ilaha illallah. We join forces and we fight to those who worship this idol. Or we completely leave them and just cause a complete destruction. So I fix a wrong with a greater wrong. And then he says, guess what, Musa, if I do that, then I will be considered that I disobeyed the prophet, meaning Musa alayhi salam. So then he says, Yabna again, my brother from the same mother, let go of my head and beard. La ta'khud bi lihyati wa la bi ra'si, let go, please. And you know, Allah, I'm hurt for Harun a bit. He says, فَلَا تُشْمِتْ بِيَ الْأَعْدَاءِ Very powerful. He says, don't let the enemy rejoice. When the believers fight, the munafiqeen are happy, يحتفلون. When the mu'mineen, في مشاكل, problems and war and bloodshed, the enemies get rejoiced and excited. May Allah protect us. So he says, Ya Musa, don't let the enemies rejoice. وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ And please, do not put me in the same category as these oppressors. Who will Musa go to? He went to Bani Israel. He went to Harun. Who's he going to go to? As-Samiri. Now, do you notice something? He didn't even, based on the ayat, he didn't go to sleep. He didn't say, okay, tomorrow we're going to have to talk about, no, we're not tomorrow, now. Because some situations, some messages, you cannot say mark as unread. You cannot read it, then you're like, you know what, I'm just going to mark as unread, I'll address it later. No, you got to address it now. So this was something he had to address immediately. So then he went to As-Samiri. This Samiri guy, Musa alayhi salam told him, فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِي What is your story? What in the world صار في راسك in your head to do what you did? What is in the world happening with you? Look what he says. قَالَ بَصُرْتُ I saw something which no one else saw. What is that? He's referring to angel Gabriel during the drowning of Pharaoh. So the narration, it's not, I'm saying it's authentic, but this is the interpretation. Angel Jibreel, we know for sure he was present during the drowning of Pharaoh. The understanding of this, that I saw something others did not see, is that Gabriel was on a horse. And I saw him. فَقَبَضْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ So I saw that whatever the horse steps on turns green and stuff like that. So I said, let me grab the soil. I think it's blessed. I think it's honorable. So I grabbed that soil, which the horse was stepping on, and I saved it this whole time. And when I saw the molten gold, you know, and you remember when they threw the gold into the fire? I said, now, what if I throw this honorable dust, this dignified thing that the angel with his horse from the heavens stepped on, and I throw it there? And maybe we can make an idol, something that reminds us of God, and, you know, do something cool. So then, sawwalat li nafsi, and this is what I thought to be a good idea. What he did is what actually some people may do today, but maybe not at that level. What he did is known as, who can take a shot? Bid'ah, an innovation. Ever heard the word bid'ah before? This is a peak bid'ah. He's thought, you know what, I got an idea. If we do something, and he can be very sincere, but it doesn't matter how sincere you are. If you start making stuff in the religion that goes against the religion, it's unacceptable, no matter how sincere you may be. You can be sweet, you can make a speech, like, brothers and sisters, how many salah do I have to pray? Answer. All right, make it emotional. How many prayers do I have to pray every day? Five, right? Allah told Muhammad to pray five times a day. And it was said to the greatest generation, correct, Sahaba, pray five times a day. Who's better, us or them? They are better. And who needs God's forgiveness, us more? Us or them? Us. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you, instead of five daily prayers, we'll make it six. From now on, six salawat. We need this. And it's so emotional. Right? Allah said five. That's it. So we're going to pray. As Mufti Mink said, we're going to pray Fajr Salah. We're going to pray Dhuhr Salah. We're going to pray Asr Salah. We're going to pray Maghrib Salah. We're going to pray Isha Salah. I'm going to pray Mo Salah. That's what Mufti Mink said. Muhammad Salah. May Allah bless him. Say Ameen. And guide him. Right? So the point being here is that people make up stuff. True story. A brother in the masjid, I saw him. He was doing, you know, the tasbihat al-salah. Subhanallah. So he took a lot longer than others, which is fine. We can have a discussion, Ali. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. What kind of dhikr do you say after salah? What's the sunnah? I know two. Maybe there's more, but I know two. You say subhanallah 33. You say alhamdulillah 33. You say Allahu Akbar 33. Then you end it with 100. The last one, one time. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. If you do that, Allah forgives all of your sins. There's another narration, authentic. You say Subhanallah 10. You say Alhamdulillah 10. Allahu Akbar 10. That's it. So this brother told me, this is a true story. He said, I say 100 times Alhamdulillah, 100 times Subhanallah, 100 times Allahu Akbar. I'm like, is this based on a narration? He said, no. He said, because I'm a lot worse than the Sahaba, true adult, full-grown man. And I think I need to do more. And there's nothing wrong with you doing 1,000 Alhamdulillah. But this is Muqayyad. What is Muqayyad? Like Allah said, and Rasulullah said, do this much after the Salah. Like it's very specific. You don't change that. You guys with me? So you doing 33 is better than doing 1,000 because there you followed the Prophet. Another one. I was in Mecca. It was Hajj time. I was able, Alhamdulillah, at one point to make Tawaf. While I'm very close to the house of Allah, the Kaaba, okay? While I was there, there was a lady, may Allah bless her, she grabbed her prayer mat. Okay, we're all making tawaf. You're in the most blessed masjid in the world. A prayer in the masjid, al-haram, is times 100,000 prayers elsewhere. Can you imagine that? So then she grabbed the mat and she started wiping the Kaaba. So what, sister, what are you doing? Similar to the Samiri, blessings. It's just bricks, right? It doesn't make your prayer. She thought, this will make me pray better. This will get my supplications, you know, get closer to Allah. So people do stuff like that. You want to get one last one? The whole blue eye thing, correct? The whole blue eye thing. May Allah guide us all, Ya Rab. And you see people, even in their profiles, right? Name such and such, and they do the blue eye. Right? And people are saying, yes. It's like very true, right? And we see it. So things like that. And what's the issue with these things? And this is what some scholars, they say, the devil loves innovation more than major sin. Oof. Why? Because when you commit a major sin, you may end up feeling bad eventually and stop it. But when you do an innovation, you think you're doing right. but you will not be recognizing that it's wrong, so you will never stop it. One last one. And this, is to me, is one of the most serious ones. Never does one add an innovation in the religion except it had to be at the expense of taking out something from the tradition of the Prophet. You see that? Never is it added except something else is subtracted. So Musa alayhi salam gets so angry at him, and he tells him to As-Samiri, go away, fadhhab. I don't ever want to talk to you. فَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ أَن تَقُولَ لَا مِسَاسِ. No one will speak to you. No one will touch you. You'll be abandoned for life. And you see this idol that you're worshiping? لَنُحَرِّقَنَّهُ. That idol, the God, I want you to see with your own eyes what I will do with it. You see the different personality between Musa and Harun. Both are greats. So Musa burns the idol, makes it melt. Then he says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِكَ الَّذِي ظَلْتَ عَلَيْهِكَ عَاكِفَ. This idol that you're devoting your life to, and all people to see, because if it's a god, it should help itself, right? ثُمَّ لَنَنْسِفَنَّهُ فِي الْيَمِّ نَسْفَ. Then we're going to throw it in the ocean. Make it a treasure down all the way in the ocean. And subhanAllah, Musa alayhi salam ends with a very powerful statement. He says, إِنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Listen, you guys, your Lord is not none but one, Allah Jalla Jalaluh. Don't confuse him with any other god. Say la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. Stop what you're doing. So when they saw that, they start feeling bad. What should we do? And they start feeling that we're going to get destroyed. Will Allah ever forgive us? Will Allah ever accept our apology? How do we even repent? So Musa alayhi salam receives revelation from God. What's a revelation? Do you know how did the children of Israel, according to the Torah, at that time, do you know how they actually had to repent and apologize for their apology to be accepted? Some people, when they do some spelling test and they get a wrong answer, what does the teacher do? Write the word, I don't know, sophisticated 15 times. Some teachers, they make it 3 times. So depending on the teacher's level, right? So for us as Muslims, how do you say, I want you God to forgive me? How does Allah forgive you? You simply feel bad. You verbalize it, I'm sorry, forgive me, and you try to make up for it. That's it. You know their religion. That was their religion. You know how they had to be forgiven? They had to kill themselves. This was revelation from Allah to them for the crime that they committed. That was their sharia. You know, heard the sharia law? That was their sharia. For their sharia, ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلِ. You guys wronged yourself by worshipping the calf. Al-calf, which is the cow. Therefore, اقتلوا أنفسكم, kill yourself. They wanted to do it. Many of them were sincere. We're sorry. We want Allah to forgive us. It was so weird what we did. Some narrations say that Allah made it very dark. And people got the swords. They would not kill their own selves, but every person will kill the one in front of them. So they start killing. الوالد يقتل ولده. The father kills the son. The mother kills the daughter. A daughter kills the father, a stranger, a neighbor. Until as the population count was dropping, people are dying and dying, Allah caused it to stop so the population doesn't go into extinct. يعني يروحوا, all be gone. Then Allah forgave those who died, and they will, inshallah, be accepted and go to paradise. And those who remained alive, Allah afa anhum. Meaning what? Allah forgave them. You guys are spared, and they moved on in their lives, they learned their lessons. They were very grateful that there was a way back. Because even in some systems, in this country that we live in, you don't have a way back. Some people, if you tell them, if you end your lives and you have a good record and you will pay off your debt for your family, they will go as far as doing that. But even human beings, they have no rahmah, not even to that level. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rab. 25 years serving in prison, they come out, no room for forgiveness. But at least for them, Allah gave them room, alhamdulillah. And say, alhamdulillah, that's not how we say sorry. Say ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So then at the end, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells Musa alayhi salam that you need to teach your people the Torah, the scripture, and they need to start heading towards more and more getting closer to al-ard al-muqaddasa, the holy land. This holy land was led by tyrants, jabbarin. Some say they were the kin'aniyun. And Allah tells Musa, send 12 leaders. You remember 12 tribes? So each tribe had a leader. So 12 of them, let them go inside the city, the holy land, check the atmosphere, check the fortress, check the soldiers, check the situation, and determine how will you attack, how will you enter the city. So Musa alayhi salam tells the 12 people, go there in discreet. No one knows you. وَلَا تَقُولُ لِأَحَدٍ. Don't tell anyone what you see once you come back except me. Only tell me what you saw. Musa does not want people to hear what's happening. They might get scared. So the 12 people, 12 leaders, they go to Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa, the Holy Land. And holy did they see things that were unbelievable. What did they see? What will they say? Will they enter Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa? Is the Holy Land really for Bani Israel?